ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 Giving a series of talks on the transcendental qualities of Srila Prabhupada. There are various lists of transcendental qualities given in Shastra, including the transcendental qualities of Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not all of which are applicable to Srila Prabhupada. For instance, innumerable universes do not emanate from the body of Srila Prabhupada, but some are applicable also. And one of them is strength. And again, no jiva is as powerful as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's why Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he is infinite in his qualities. But the pure devotees, by the grace of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they reflect his qualities. So one quality of Srila Prabhupada is that he's strong. Everyone is strong to some degree or other. Everyone has some strength. But if someone has considerably more strength than others, they call it strong. Even a weak person has some kind of strength. But when we say someone is strong, that means they have more strength, noticeably more strength than others. So Srila Prabhupada was strong. Srila Prabhupada in one lecture gave a definition of the term balam. Srila Prabhupada said balam. Balam means bodily strength. Just like in your country there are some box fighters. Boxing. Box fighter, Srila Prabhupada said, very strong and stout. That is called balam. This strength, this word bala, is mentioned in a well-known verse from the Mundaka Upanishad. Nayam atma bala. You heard the word bala. Nayam atma bala hinena labhyo. Nachat pramadat tapaso bhav p'aumagat. Etayar upayayar yatate yastu vidvams tasyaisa atma vishate brahmadhama. So this first line is well known. Nayam atma bala hinena labhyo. Commenting on this, on the translation, the Supreme Lord is not attained by one who has no spiritual strength, who is wild or careless. Na cha pramadat tapaso vapyalingat, one whose austerities are not appropriate. The Lord appears before a person who strives by right means to attain him. Such a person enters the spiritual world. Commenting on this, Srila Prabhupada in one lecture said, dala means strength. Sometimes some rascal philosophers take it that bala means bodily strength. They propagate this philosophy that unless you are bodily stout and strong, you cannot achieve spiritual salvation. You must be very strong and stout and eat meat and fight, and then you'll get spiritual. Then you'll get an extra spiritual birth. No, this bala, this strength is different. This is spiritual strength. So here Srila Prabhupada was specifically talking about rascal philosophers, was specifically referring to the so-called Vivekananda, who propagated that we need bodily strength. You have to eat meat and be strong. One of his great pronouncements, Vivekananda, better to play football than study Bhagavad Gita. You don't have to tell people in Germany that. But actually it's rubbish, because by playing football you'll get absolutely no, maybe some bodily strength, maybe. But the real need is spiritual strength. Clearly, Srila Prabhupada had spiritual strength. Otherwise, how could he even think of going alone to the Western countries? Now, you might call that mental strength. Someone has mental strength. To achieve anything in this world requires mental strength. If we see successful people, means people who have dhanam, janam, and sundari, that is considered success. If people have wealth, fame, followers, power, beautiful women, they are considered successful. You can't get that without some mental strength to become a successful businessman or politician, or even for that matter, talking about football, even to be a successful footballer, you have to have some mental strength also to have people kicking you all the time, and to go through the rigors of training. You have to be very disciplined. It requires mental strength. But Srila Prabhupada's strength in going alone to the West, mental, yes, but that mental strength came from his spiritual strength. Otherwise, what did he have to gain by going to the West? It didn't look like he was going to be successful. If his aim was to gain followers and fame, it didn't look like he was going to be very successful. Going there with no money, no help, mission impossible. But he had the spiritual strength that he thought, I must try to fulfill the order of my spiritual master. So he got spiritual strength from the parampara, the disciplic succession, the acharyas, from Krishna. And he faced innumerable difficulties, one after the other. Physical difficulties, heart attacks on the boat. Having to live with people who were, by the standards that he was accustomed to, barbarians. People who did everything that he had not done in his whole life. Eating meat, free sex, intoxication. The people of America didn't think this was wrong. They just thought it was normal. They didn't question it. But for Srila Prabhupada, that was very difficult to go among such people. But he did so willingly because he had the spiritual strength that he wanted to give Krishna to others. It wasn't easy. He had so many difficulties. Even he took followers, he trained them, so many they went away, some of them turned against him, some of them went crazy. I'm going to quote from Shvabas Prabhu, who himself has got great... you don't know him, probably. He's been the town president in of ISKCON Los Angeles since, I don't know, maybe 30 years, maybe more. So he has to have great spiritual strength to do that, to stick to such a service. Being a town president isn't very easy, actually. It's not so easy. Anyway, here's a quote from him about Srila Prabhupada's strength. He said, I appreciate Prabhupada's strength. Prabhupada never gave up fighting for Krishna. One of my fondest thoughts is when Prabhupada was in New York. At the time, the anti-cult movement was prominent and giving us lots of trouble. Yeah, to appreciate Prabhupada's qualities, you really have to know about his activities and his pastimes. How the anti-cult movement was giving us a lot of trouble. There's major court case against ISKCON, and devotees were being kidnapped, and so-called the program. And Shura said, Prabhupada said, I want to fight for Krishna with my last breath. That statement was very significant and important to me. No matter what the circumstances, Prabhupada would never give up. He was a warrior for Krishna. Whatever it took, it didn't matter. He would do anything for Krishna. He exhibited this strength of the Dhammaduta before he came to America, and he exhibited it in New York in the early days. Most people would have turned back, given up, but Prabhupada had a vision of so many temples, so many devotees. I personally appreciate Srila Prabhupada for his undaunting devotion and strength to the instruction of his spiritual master, and of course to Krishna. So some thoughts for myself. If you have a plan to spread something all over the world, you need a lot of helpers. It would be thought some crazy idea if someone with no friends, no money, and he's talking about, I'm going to spread something all over the world. It might be thought, yeah, he's just some fanciful old man. He's just talking some nonsense. Anyway, he's an old man, so just tolerate it. Previously, Buddhism spread due to the patronage of Ashoka. Its initial boost came from that. Islam spread by the strength of the sword. That was a major factor in the early spread of Islam. The patronage of a king means all the power of the state, of the money, the laws, everything. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sangopangastra Parshadam, he spread Sankirtan with all his associates. But Srila Prabhupada went alone. Of course, he said, I never felt alone. I felt my spiritual master was always with me. But he went out alone. And it's difficult for us now to understand what he did, because Krishna consciousness is established, and we can't imagine what it was like before it was established. And at the present time in the Western world, people, it's very multicultural, and people are used to all kinds of different things, and it's inculcated in people that you have to tolerate minorities, and there's a wide degree of acceptance. But it wasn't like that at all before Srila Prabhupada went. And in India, people, by their culture, they're trained to respect saintly people. It's there to a minor degree. It may be in some parts of Europe that people have respect for religious ministers. Is it there in Czech Republic? It's a traditionally Catholic place. Something to some extent. Maybe here. Little bit. Is it anyone from Bayern, Bavaria, Catholic area? Catholics, I mean, among the lectures, the Catholics have more culture of respect for saints than the Protestants. Catholics and Orthodox. Protestantism means just, it's Rittvikism. It's me, the book, and Jesus. Forget everything else. Rittvikism isn't anything new.
And wine in England, Protestant Church.
Oh, in the Catholic Church also?
No, Protestant.
No, in Catholic Mass, it's compulsory. You have to drink the wine, which is the blood of Jesus. Drink the blood of Jesus. It's a strange idea. Anyway, people in India, there's a culture of respect for the guru, especially. But there's no such thing in the West. Something of respect for, but especially when Prabhupada went to New York City, and in New York City people have this, it's showing their own strength. It's a principle not to show respect to anyone. Not necessarily rude to others, but you don't show respect to anyone. But Srila Prabhupada, by the strength of his own love for Krishna and his own love for others, he invoked love for himself. He brought out love in others who who they may not have known that they could love like that. Jayananda Prabhu, a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, who Srila Prabhupada had very great love for. He commented about the first ever Rath Yatra in New York City, how with Jagannath going down the street in New York City with his big smile and everyone happily dancing there, and Jayananda commented that you'd see people smiling and you could understand from their face it's the first time they've smiled maybe in years. Prabhupada brought that out in people. He brought out, by his own spiritual strength, he brought out spiritual qualities in people that they didn't know they had. And even everyone in India before Srila Prabhupada went, who said it's impossible, you can't do anything there, they didn't have the faith that they knew the philosophy, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Shadha Kabunai Shabarnadi Shuddha Chitte Koreyayodai, that Krishna consciousness is inherent in everyone. But they didn't have the faith that these lectures could be brought to the level, the spiritual level of Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada had that faith, that was his strength. And several of Srila Prabhupada's contemporaries in the Gaudiya Math, they noted, they were surprised how much Srila Prabhupada's disciples, they were devoted to him. They became surprised how Srila Prabhupada's disciples became able to give up their horrible habits. It was on the strength of their devotion to him, which Srila Prabhupada, he invoked it. You can't force love. But on the strength of his love, he brought that out in others. And it overflowed. The kirtans, especially welcoming Srila Prabhupada in the airports, they were legendary. How devotees, they just completely forgot that they were in an airport with so many karmis. Mostly in those days in the airports, it was quite well-to-do people who flew. Not everyone, but there was a word, the jet set. It means people who had more money. It was mostly businessmen with their briefcases and their suits and everything. Devotees completely forgot. And they were in the spiritual world with Prabhupada, and probably just his coming, their whole feelings just overflowed in the most euphoric kirtans, and devotees fall on the floor. It was just, people couldn't believe it. It was just something they never imagined. That's what Srila Prabhupada brought out in people. Devoted, they didn't care what the outsiders thought. They just forgot. They forgot that the outsiders were even there. So Srila Prabhupada, very powerful. When we hear Srila Prabhupada speak, it's a very powerful voice, isn't it? And that's why I also had this experience, and many, many devotees experienced that. That when they first, almost all the devotees, his disciples, they heard Srila Prabhupada's voice in tape recordings in those days before they saw him. So by the power of his voice and the conviction with which he spoke, the urgency with which he spoke, the intensity with which he spoke, and the strong message he gave, surrender to Krishna, give up all this nonsense. So devotees were very surprised, myself included, when they first saw him, to be physically short. Mostly Indians, if we say Srila Prabhupada, if you want to give some physical classification, Indian, mostly they're shorter than Europeans, and Bengalis are mostly shorter than other Indians. Srila Prabhupada wasn't Bengali, he wasn't Indian, but he appeared in this world in a Bengali Vaishnava family. So he's not Bengali, not Indian, in the sense that he is a personality of the spiritual world. So that was surprising What he said was very powerful and very valuable. The people, they see what are the speeches of the politicians, and so many things said by so many philosophers. It's a fashion in the Western world that people, these news reporters, television people, they go on the street and they stick a microphone in some, just anyone's face and say, what do you think about blah, 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 whatever it may be. And all of a sudden, they have to give their opinion. But whatever Srila Prabhupada says is far more valuable than all these blah, 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 of all the blah, 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 blubbers in the whole material world. They're blubbering their way through birth and death. And Srila Prabhupada, his words, they cut chidyante hridaya grantis. Vidyate hridaya grantis. Chidyante sarva samshayaha. His words were very powerful to break the knot of material attachment on the heart and pierce and destroy all the doubts in the heart. Srila Prabhupada is very powerful in as much as, very strong in as much as by his very presence, millions of sinful reactions go away. Just darshane pavitra kara eito margun, just by seeing Srila Prabhupada, one is purified. Gangara parasha hoile paschate pavan. Even by bathing in the Ganga, it takes time to become purified, but simply by seeing powerful devotee Srila Prabhupada, immediately one is freed from all sinful reactions. And even you see that Prabhupada, even his glance, and many devotees experience this, I also experience this, that if Srila Prabhupada may look at you for just a second, and you just feel the power of his personality, sees through all your maya for millions of lifetimes. It's naked, there's nothing to hide. His glance is very powerful. By his glance he purifies the whole world. He was just different to everyone else, without particularly trying to be in the hippies, they were all trying to be different, but they all ended up being different the same way, with long hair and bells and flowers and bell bottoms and all this kind of thing. But Srila Prabhupada is just in a class of his own. We, his disciples, we all felt like this. I don't know if we verbally expressed it, but at least this was my understanding, that we all felt that even though there were so many big leaders in Srila Prabhupada's, amongst Srila Prabhupada's disciples, so many big, powerful leaders, they're powerful because Srila Prabhupada empowered them. But we all felt that we were very insignificant in relationship to Srila Prabhupada. I often gave this example. It's just like, okay, there's me, I'm very small, and there are the big leaders, they're 10, 20, 30, 50, 100 times bigger than me. But it's like, we're like ants before a mountain in relation to Prabhupada. I don't know if you have here the small ants and big ants. Do you have that in India? They have. And they're very small ants this size, and they're bigger ants this size. Do you have in Germany? You don't have it in. You have in America, Florida. They have also. So it's like I might be a small ant, and one of the big leaders is a big ant, and Srila Prabhupada is like a whole mountain, or something like that. We all felt like that. He's just so much bigger than all of us. So he was so big spiritually, powerful. And by his spiritual strength, you could say the strength of his personality, he was able to bring under control very heavy personalities. Tamal Krishna Maharaj was legendarily heavy. There was somebody, Brahmananda, very heavy person. He was like, he was so submissive to Srila Prabhupada. Very heavy and physically heavy and very strong person. So many. Hari Kesh, Guru Kripa, Gargamoni, how many will they say? Palavan, very, very heavy personalities. But they all submitted to Srila Prabhupada. He was so strong. His strength, of course, it was not some psychopathic strength by which you control people by some mental domination. But Srila Prabhupada, his strength was his Krishna consciousness, his love of Krishna. And he attracted people to Krishna consciousness. How was that? Well, the attractiveness of his own personality, because he himself was absorbed in love of Krishna, his own personality became very attractive, and that he was able to give strength to others so that they could, with the faith he imbued in others, just neophyte devotees. Okay, you go to Japan, you go to Japanese, hardly know anything about Krishna consciousness, go to Japan, go here, go there, preach Krishna consciousness. They could do it because they'd imbibed strength and faith in Krishna, which they'd imbibed from Srila Prabhupada. And he gave people the strength to just, whatever they were doing, just leave it and come and join. And Srila Prabhupada, he gave that strength to his followers also, so that his own disciples could tell them, what are you doing? Just forget, come, just join us. And they would, on the spot, they'd leave everything. That doesn't happen much, hardly at all these days. We don't even try to do that nowadays. Srila Prabhupada imparted such strength to others. I was mentioning Jayananda Prabhu. Here's an extract from his Vyasa Puja offering to Srila Prabhupada in 1970. Srila Prabhupada, you are brave and strong, alone restoring a world gone wrong, boldly marching on, preaching and chanting the divine song. So that was recognized that Srila Prabhupada was very strong, even by his early followers. One instance of his strength that Srila Prabhupada, he didn't care for the pomp and pride and position of this material world. He was bold enough to preach Krishna consciousness straightforwardly to whoever he met. This happened, this anecdote was related by Yogeshwara Prabhu, who had arranged for Srila Prabhupada's reception, official reception, by the mayor of Paris at Paris City Hall, which is not something which is done for every Tom, Dick and Harry. It's only for very respectable or very prominent and important people. They'll arrange an official reception. Somehow or other, Yogeshwara Prabhu and maybe others, they arranged it for Srila Prabhupada, which is amazing, because at that time the official powers that be, they tended to think of the Krishna conscious movement as some insignificant hippie cult. Somehow or other, Yogeshwara was able to do it. And he wasn't even French. Yogeshwara was American. So he arranged this. And there's a protocol to follow. In such official receptions, there's a protocol to follow, which you're expected to follow. To follow the protocol means to give, you're being honored and you reciprocally offer honor to indirectly you're respecting the whole French nation. and its whole great history and culture, by you reciprocate with that by following the protocol. So Yogeshwara told Srila Prabhupada the protocol, that you go into the reception room, everyone should stand, and then the mayor gives some remarks praising that person. That's the general thing. And then that person has to say something in reciprocation, praising France or whatever. So Prabhupada didn't follow them. Prabhupada went in and he sat down. You're supposed to stand up, Prabhupada sat down. And the mayor started getting nervous. And everyone was looking over, and Yogeshwara leaned over and whispered to Srila Prabhupada that they're waiting for you to stand. Prabhupada looked at Yogeshwara and said, I'm supposed to stand for who? Because standing up means to offer respect. And Prabhupada, they should offer respect to me. That was the idea. Which is, it's standard etiquette when it's standard etiquette in Vedic culture, that in the presence of a senior, he may sit, the others should stand. If he tells them or gives permission, then they may sit. Otherwise, they should stand. Not that he should stand for them. That's back to front. So Prabhupada refused to stand, and for the first time ever in the history of the country, that anyone had been received in the city hall without standing up. If you think about it, it's something like Napoleon Bonaparte, when the Pope came to crown him, he took the crown from the Pope and put it on his own head. He was so puffed up. But not that Srila Prabhupada was puffed up, but he understood. See, Napoleon Bonaparte had called the Pope all the way from Rome to officially crown him as a political move. He did that. But actually, he didn't give a damn for the Pope. And he didn't have it. So the Pope came with the crown, and he just took it from the Pope and put it on his own head. I got this position by myself. So. I'm calling you, but actually you're subordinate to me. That was the implication of Napoleon Bonaparte's puffed up move. But with Srila Prabhupada, of course, I'm a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You're just some. You should respect me. Why should I respect you? So the mayor said something which was probably written by someone else, which he didn't. So he said, yes, Paris has always been such a spiritual city. Trying to think, when we think of Paris, what do we think of? The storming of the Bastille, the reign of terror, guillotine.
Very spiritual. Jean-Paul Sartre, very spiritual.
Prabhupada stood at that moment and he said, Mr. Mayor, you've spoken very nicely about how France is such a spiritual country. Let us examine what is spiritual. And Srila Prabhupada, in Yogeshwara Prabhu's words, went right for the jugular. He said, there is a soul within the body, and any government that is unaware of the difference between the soul and the body is a demoniac government. Just like your Napoleon Bonaparte, he pronounced it Bonaparte. He said, I am France. France is there. Where is Napoleon? Prabhupada said. The soul is gone. Where has he gone? This is the importance of the proper spiritual training to understand the difference between the body and the soul. So Srila Prabhupada told the mayor, the government's duty, the duty of the politicians, the duty of all the leaders of the people is to train the citizens in God consciousness and spiritual life. And if they do not teach the values of spiritual life, how there is a soul different from the body, if they do not teach how there is God who is the supreme controller, then they are not doing their duty. They are simply doing harm to the citizens. So Srila Prabhupada is expected to go there and be superficially praised and give some superficial praise back. Prabhupada didn't go along with it at all. And that was bold. And Yogeshwar Prabhu said, we could see by looking at the mayor of Paris that he was astonished by what Prabhupada was telling him, but Prabhupada took the opportunity to give them a lesson. When else would he get the opportunity? Gave them the opportunity to give them a lesson on being good politicians and doing really their duty as the leaders of France. Yogeshwar Prabhu commented, he, Srila Prabhupada, was strong. And that was Srila Prabhupada's style. He was strong. He didn't mince words. He could be very understanding and was always sensitive, but never compromising. An opportunity like this in the city hall of Paris before the mayor, the press, dignitaries. Prabhupada was the acharya, the representative of Krishna and Krishna's world. And there was no compromising the message at all, ever. Srila Prabhupada, spiritually strong, and he gave spiritual strength. In this regard, I'm going to read an extract from the Krishna book. And by the way, the translator, you can see me afterwards, and I'll give you, I have some notes I'll give you, it'll make it easier for you. If you could. Because I know translating from the books is difficult, more than ad-lib spoken words. So here's a quote from Krishna book. Srila Prabhupada wrote, not only does a pure devotee purify his own personal existence, but whoever becomes his disciple also becomes purified and is ultimately able to enter the kingdom of God without difficulty. In other words, not only can a pure devotee easily surpass death, but by his grace his followers can also do so without difficulty. The power of devotional service is so great that a pure devotee can electrify another person by his transcendental instruction on crossing over the ocean of nescience. So we saw in that incident in Paris how Srila Prabhupada was personally very strong. He gave a strong message. He was bold. He was strong enough to speak like that. Daring enough to speak like that in that situation. He spoke strong words. But another major factor of his spiritual strength is that he gave spiritual strength to others. His strength was not for dominating others. Materialistic people, demons, ahankaram balam darpam. They're typical of the demons. They're egoistic. They have strength. They're puffed up. Kamam krodham. They have lusty desires, anger. So their strength, that is for dominating others. And they don't want others to become strong. But Srila Prabhupada, his strength was not like that. He wanted to give others strength. And he was quite competent to do so. There was a method by which he gave strength. It wasn't just this idea you look at someone and they become infused. They would become infused, no doubt, by Srila Prabhupada's personal presence. But at the same time, he taught the science of Krishna consciousness and how to get spiritual strength. If you read Srila Prabhupada's letters, you will find that again and again and again and again, he gave the process by which we can get spiritual strength. I'm just going to read from one letter which he wrote to Tamal Krishna in 1970, but it's the same method that he gave again and again and again. Srila Prabhupada wrote, spiritual strength is that each and every one of us must chant the 16 rounds of beads and follow the rules and regulations with great adherence. That gives spiritual strength. And by that spiritual strength, devotees themselves can become strong enough to follow in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada and preach Krishna consciousness. As a little aside here, tangentially speaking, I suspect that a lot of the so-called indirect preaching that seems to be the main preaching in ISKCON nowadays is also linked to the fact that we don't also preach about rising early, chanting 16 rounds, following the four regulated principles. So it's all linked together. Without ourselves getting the strength, the spiritual strength from following the process that Srila Prabhupada gave us, then we don't have the strength to preach Krishna consciousness straightforwardly. And we don't have the faith that if we do so, people can take to Krishna consciousness. We think we have to bring them in through some bridge method. Anyway, that's a tangential point, important point. Speaking about spiritual strength, Srila Prabhupada, in a conversation, he said, as they, referring to his disciples, as they have been trained up to rise early in the morning, this will give you spiritual strength. If you simply become a gramophone speaker, then it will not be effective. Gramophone or tape record speaker, that will not be. You must be a live speaker. This is following the term that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to use, that it should be a living source. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also wrote, pran acheta shehetu prachar. One who's got life, he can preach. So, Srila Prabhupada continued here, your living condition should be spiritually surcharged. That means you must be trained up how to rise early in the morning, take bath, cleanse yourself, chant the Hare Krishna mantra, then you will be spiritually strong. In other words, if we speak the philosophy but we don't practice it, it won't have the same effect. Same teachings, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave. Yapale achare keha na kare prachar, prachar kare keha na kare prachar. Acha pracha name kara hadui karj tumi sharva guru tumi jagate arja. Sanatan Goswami said to Haridas Thakur. Some people follow the rules and regulations of devotional service, but they don't preach. Some people preach, but they don't follow the regulations. But you, Haridas, you both preach and you follow the principles in relation to the holy name. Therefore, you are the guru of everyone and you are the best person in the world. So Srila Prabhupada said, rise early in the morning, take bath, cleanse yourself, chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Then you will be spiritually strong. When you are spiritually strong, if you speak something on spiritual subject matter, it will be effective. Otherwise, it will be just like a tape recorder playing. This is required. Of course, when we hear Srila Prabhupada's recordings of what he says, we also get strength from that, because Srila Prabhupada is not just some sound coming out of his mouth, but it is Golokera Prema Dhanna Harinama Sankirtan. It's directly connected with Krishna in the spiritual world by Srila Prabhupada's spiritual strength. Even physically, Srila Prabhupada was strong. Surprisingly strong. An anecdote from 1965 or 1966, when Srila Prabhupada, he had to move from one apartment to another in New York City. And it was quite a long walk. And Mukunda Maharaj, one of Srila Prabhupada's first disciples, at that time he wasn't a disciple, he was helping. He had some attachment to Srila Prabhupada that later developed into discipleship. But he wanted to help Swamiji. So Michael Grant had located a new apartment for Srila Prabhupada, who was obliged to leave his old apartment. So they were walking, carrying Srila Prabhupada's suitcase and everything that Srila Prabhupada had. And Mukunda Maharaj said, he noted how this the 70-year-old Swami carried two suitcases, one in each hand, as they walked 1 mile on a hot, sticky afternoon, humid afternoon. Sticky, when you say sticky weather, it means it's humid and your cloth sticks to your body because of perspiration. It's an English idiomatic saying, a sticky day. Translation can be difficult. What does a sticky afternoon mean? If you try to think about it literally, it doesn't make any sense. It sounds like a Zen koan, something like that, unless you know. So Mukunda Maharaj noted that he himself carried this big heavy tape recorder that the Swamiji was using for, and Mukunda said that I put it on one shoulder, then I had to put it on the other shoulder, back and forward, and my arm and shoulder ached for days afterwards. But the Swamiji was just walking along. He was a young man. Michael Grant was a young man, and here was this Swamiji, an old man. He had that physical strength. And then as the movement, Srila Prabhupada was forced to move. Actually, it was Krishna's arrangement because the location was much better. And then the movement picked up in many ways. But Srila Prabhupada, he was with all these young men, and he was like a young man himself, in as much as he would go to the park with them and play the drum for hours on end and sing for hours on end in the heat. And he worked harder than anyone else. The hippies at that time, they were mostly a pretty lazy bunch. That was another of Srila Prabhupada's amazing achievements, that he got these lazy people to work hard for Krishna. He infused them with the enthusiasm to do that. So Srila Prabhupada went on like that, but at one point he had a heart attack. But he had a lot of strength like that. There are many instances. Now, at the installation of Sri Sri Radha Vandaneeswara, which year was that, 1971? Do you know? 1969. So there was one incident where Shama Sundar, who had literally been working day and night, literally, for days on end, he missed the installation, the one who did all the work, because at one point he just collapsed. He was asleep during the whole installation because he hadn't slept for days. And one of the things, just practically done everything, but one thing, he hadn't affixed the pillars. If you see the old photos of Radha Lalaneeswara Berry Place, Radha Lalaneeswara underneath and Jagannath Subhadra Baladeva are on top. It was very crowded. The whole temple was... Everything was very, very crowded. The temple room was very small. So Jagannath, he was on Radha Lalaneeswara on the ground floor, and Jagannath was on the first floor. It was an apartment building, something like that. So Shama Sundara, practically he did he got everything else in order, but he put pillars, but he hadn't affixed them. So right during the installation, someone hit one of the pillars and it started to fall over, and there was a marble sheet. And what was going to happen? The marble slab was going to fall on Radha Lalaneeswara. Srila Prabhupada saw from outside and he suddenly jumped in and held it up. He held up one side, there was the pillar, and one side there was Prabhupada. He saved Radha and Krishna from the marble slab falling down on them. But that marble slab would take at least 4 strong men to pick up, and Prabhupada was standing there holding it. It's something that you hear stories sometimes of say, for instance, a child somehow gets trapped underneath a car, and the mother comes and just lifts the car up. Normally she couldn't do such a thing, but just because of her intense love for her child, she picks the whole car up and the child can come out. She lifts it up. So it's like that. Srila Prabhupada held up the marble slab it would take four strong men to pick it up, plus Jagannath, Subhadra and Baladeva were on top, and Prabhupada was there holding it until someone else could come and some other devotees could come and hold that and make a proper arrangement. Physical strength. 1973, Srila Prabhupada arrived, I believe it was from Bombay. He had been very sick. He arrived in London on Rathyatra Day. He'd been very sick. He danced all the way through the whole parade. He was going to sit because he was sick. But he just went to offer obeisance to Jagannath just near the beginning of the parade, and then put his arms in the air, being inspired by the kid, and then he was sick and he just forgot everything and just danced all the way to Trafalgar Square, which inspired all his disciples to also dance. They were young men and women, they could do. One incident in Mauritius, Srila Prabhupada was involved in a head-on car accident, and Srila Prabhupada was quite badly injured. He was quite badly cut. There was nothing life-threatening, no broken bones, but he was quite badly cut. So he told Hare Krishna to make a paste of some different items, and he smeared it on the areas that were in pain. And Srila Prabhupada, he didn't complain. He didn't go for any medical checkup. He went on the morning walk the next morning as if nothing had happened. He just took all that pain. He was so strong. One symptom of bodily strength is to tolerate pain. Srila Prabhupada himself gave the example once that Stalin, he had some operation without anesthetic. He had his stomach cut open. No need of anesthetic.
Who was that?
Stalin, called Stalin in English and Stalin in Russian, right?
I didn't know.
Prabhupada had heard that. It may be what's the word? Not a true story. It may be hagiography. No, I'm thinking of another word. There's a the section of the Bible which is not included in the Bible. I can't remember the word just now. It means
apocrypha.
It may be an apocrypha.
Apocalypse.
Yeah, no, not apocalypse. Apocryphy, that's the word. It may be. Where it may be not actually true. Hagiography is full of apocryphy. That's why it's called hagiography. That comes from demoniac strength. But Srila Prabhupada, he tolerated toothache. Anyone had a real heavy toothache? Probably everyone, huh? You can't sleep for days on it. And they just give you injections and they pull it out. But it's extremely painful. He seemed unaffected by jet lag. He'd fly from one continent to another and just go into his normal schedule, while all these young men around him, they're all completely... they know whether it's day or night, and Prabhupada just goes on with his schedule. Set his watch, his watch set to the time, and he just go on with his schedule. That's superhuman. On his morning walks, there's little Prabhupada, and then big, tall Hari Krish, big, tall Brahmananda Prabhupada walking faster and everyone's trying to keep up with him. He worked harder than anyone else. All day he would be engaged in Krishna service, meeting people, giving lectures. And at night, everyone, especially when Prabhupada went to a place, everyone would be exhausted. Generally they were exhausted because they were getting it all cleaned up and everything before Prabhupada came. Painting and all this. So when he arrived, they were exhausted. But they went on with their spiritual enthusiasm. So wherever Prabhupada went, the place, everything became surcharged with spiritual energy. But then at night, the devotees were just going, they were working high power throughout the day, and at night, they were out for the count, so to speak. But Prabhupada was up. He was in the middle of this high energy, and he himself was, although very relaxed, at the same time very intense, but he would be up at night translating his books. Spiritual strength. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Any questions, comments, anything? Yes?
I have a question. What happens after we know that after leaving of Srila Prabhupada, some of his disciples lost strength?
After Srila Prabhupada left this world, some of his disciples lost their strength.
And I know also the case from disciples of Srila Prabhupada who became spiritual masters. Some of them also already left body, and their disciples, grand disciples of Srila Prabhupada also, losing inspiration and strength.
Losing inspiration. It's going on in parampara. Some of Prabhupada's disciples lost spiritual strength after their guru passed away.
So what happened?
What happens? The link is always there. In the Vani. You have to hold on to the Vani. Then you remain spiritually strong. Simple principle.
Could it be that the attachment was more to the person than...
Is it that the attachment is more to the person than to the instructions? They are inseparable. But those who don't understand them to be inseparable may founder after their guru leaves. Founder, you probably don't understand this. It's a founder or flounder. they may collapse after their guru leaves. One disciple of Srila Prabhupada who was very prominent while Srila Prabhupada was present, I met him a few years after Srila Prabhupada passed away. Maybe about 6 or 7 years. And he was more or less in Maya. And he told me that you're doing better than me because you've stuck to it. He said my whole Krishna consciousness was based on personally pleasing Srila Prabhupada. And then when Prabhupada passed away, there was the whole basis of my Krishna consciousness was gone, and I couldn't maintain strength. It means he should have heard Prabhupada also. Should have listened to what he said. Vani is more important than Vapu. The instruction is more important than the personal presence. Now we're getting into a whole arena of topics.
In which way is it appropriate to desire to be like Srila Prabhupada?
In what way is it appropriate to desire to be like Srila Prabhupada? It's appropriate to follow in his footsteps, not to imitate. And not desire dhanam janam sundari. Prabhupada, I've just been writing about this just before I came here. If you wonder what I'm doing sitting in that room all day, I'm working on a book that I'm writing called The Mood and Mission of Srila Prabhupada.
things or going to take care of.
So, yeah, the, one of the early sections in that book is called Vani and Vahu and Vani. It's, there's a section on who are Srila Prabhupada's followers. Who can best understand Prabhupada? Is it those who have personally had association with him? Or those who follow his instructions? From his instructions, we understand it's those who follow his instructions. And from that point of view, you could be more closely connected with Prabhupada even now, even if you were physically born this time around after Srila Prabhupada passed away. You could be more closely connected with him than those who spent time with him days, weeks, months, and years. If it's according to the degree of Guru Mukha Padmava Kirchitete Kariya Aika Ana Kariya Maneyashas, to the degree that one takes the words from the lotus mouth of the Guru as one with his heart, not desiring anything else. That is the actual criteria.
Regarding strength of the mind, I remember Srila Prabhupada said that if you want peace of heart, perform your duties. If you want peace of your mind, read Bhagavatam. If you want the equilibrium or harmony between the two, hear Krishna Katha. So I was wondering.
You remember that Srila Prabhupada said, what was that? If you want peace of heart?
Yes, at least
if you want peace of heart?
Yes, so perform your duties.
Perform your duties. So if you want
peace of your mind.
Peace of mind.
Read Bhagavatam.
Read Bhagavatam.
And if you want harmony between
the two. And if you want harmony between the two?
Hear Krishna Katha.
Hear Krishna Katha.
So I
wish. Where's that from?
So.
I must say, I never heard it.
You've never heard it?
No, it's first
time. So I was wondering, is it?
Sounds interesting, but I never heard it before. read Srimad Bhagavatam, hear Krishna Katha. Seems to be the same thing.
No, but so my question is.
Maybe someone else said it and described it in Prabhupada. There's no record that I know of, and I've made a. In compiling this book, I've been through everything I can to get as much as I can of what everything that's in the Veda base, personal memories, everything. So I never heard that one. It sounds more, it actually sounds on the pattern of the New Age kind of thing. If you want this, do this. If you want that, do that. And if you want harmony between the two, do this. It sounds like one of those clever sayings.
So he never said that.
That's right, I never heard it.
So that means I was misguided by a senior.
You're probably quite likely misguided by a senior devotee if they told you that. Often, someone comes to me and says that someone told me this. Is it true? And I always say to them, well, ask the person who told you. What's the source of it? If someone says to you, Srila Prabhupada said, there's no harm in drinking beer from time to time. Just to give a completely ridiculous example. You're not like to be misled by that. But then if someone says, yeah, Prabhupada said it, then you have to say, okay, well, what is the pramana? What is the evidence? Is it in his books? Is it in his recorded conversations or lectures, is it in his letters? Maybe one of his disciples recalls saying that. But otherwise, don't. Many times, you always come and say, well, so and so, senior devotee said this, is it true? And then you have to ask. You ask. I tell you. You go and ask the person who said it. What is the evidence for that?
No, but the problem was that.
And often you'll find that the person who heard it has misheard it and jumbled up something in their mind. That's how you get apocrypha. We just use that fancy word. stories are not, which are not actually true. At least Apocrypha in the biblical sense means what the church fathers in between munching their roast beef decided was not true. Not true enough to be in the Bible. So we get all kinds of things like that. You said to me something today. What was that? And I clarified that. What was that point you said?
About his, about his gurus. That one... it seems to be that this guru who gives initiation, if his guru is still living...
You said that I had said that someone who gives initiation in the presence of their guru, it's like killing their guru.
It's like, it seems that they want to kill their guru.
But then I thought, oh, wait a minute. Did I say that? I said it may be that some people are so eager that they want to give initiation, they want to be a big guru. It's almost as if they're waiting for their guru to die. There's a big difference between the two things. They're both very heavy statements. But it didn't seem right to me that I'd say, you were asking me, what do you mean by that? Saying that someone who initiates in the presence of his guru is like killing his own guru. I don't think I said that. So, Hare Krishna, all those things to my Guru Srila Prabhupada. Okay, bring the strong man. We need some spiritual strength to lift this dharma now. Made by your spiritually strong wife. Actually, she's spiritually strong. Okay. Quick. You have to switch it on.
You can make it with my phone.
Okay.
I'll take this off in case we... Do you get that from this phone? You get this, what's it called? Reflection. Simple. I might get red eye with this. Put my best Swami smile. Pretend to look blissful. Or maybe I should look profound.
Okay. I have this. Oh, if you like.
Yeah, I need this.
Okay. Do you want a natural one now? Did you do any of those silly poses?
That's a nice pose.
Okay. So take it and you can send it by drone to your wife. Did DHL start the drone service yet? Amazon? Look at this. Exercises. I think I don't remember actually getting such a big garland ever.
Wow.
Actually, I might have. This garland was made by Dharanjaya's wife.
Wow.
Who couldn't come because she's expecting to have a baby anytime now. Maybe it's going on right now.
Yes. I switch off my phone during the lecture, so
you
I don't know.
Switch off your phone so you don't get news. It's a girl! Or whatever. So that's very nice. Did you grow the flowers also on the farm?
Yeah, it's not all up. It's from Prabhupada Bhavan, from garden in temple garden. From temple garden.
Oh, right in that little
space.
Yeah,
and maybe
there.
some maybe from other side.
Amazing.
Some of them, definitely this pink one and red one is from our garden, but this white.
The roses here, just going around here, they're very beautifully scented, isn't it? Is that natural? You're not spraying them?
Yeah,
oh.
Digging
here
with love.
Yeah. Punya Gandho Pativyamba. Cha, sorry. Krishna is the scent coming out of this. So that's some blessing. Bhumi Devi is pleased. She wants to serve Krishna by giving her scent to these flowers. That's a very good compliment for you. And the gardener. Who's the gardener? You're the cowherd, not the farmer.
I think
Roses are taken care of. What is the
secret? Usually roses now, especially nowadays, they grow them. What is it called? Hydroponically or hydroponically? It's just completely. I mean, they just look nice, but they have no scent. They're really, really good. Surprisingly good.
In Germany, it's forbidden to sell flowers with a flower.
It's forbidden to sell flowers with a scent?
Yeah, exactly, because there are a lot of people that have allergy.
People have allergies, and so you shouldn't sell flowers with scent. Anyway, if that was the only insane law in Germany, it would be great. They're passing all kinds of insane laws. Who's from Britain? Bhagavati. Bhagavati, is she here? I heard you're from Britain, but you don't know because you're Indian. I heard in England now it's against the law to play conkers. You know conkers? The boys at school play conkers? Huh?
I think it's against the law now.
Yeah, I heard it's against the law to play conkers. You probably don't do it in Germany. You get chestnuts, I think it is. One kind of chestnut, then horse chestnuts, and then you bake them in the oven and they become hard, and then you put it on a string and you go like that and try to break someone else's. It's been going on for hundreds of years. It's got nothing to do with Krishna consciousness, but it's completely harmless. It's illegal. Maybe, I heard that, but you never know. It's quite possible. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.